You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
And Morena, you are indeed on 95 BFM this morning, and we're joined in the studio by journalist, researcher, and now author as well, Dylan Reeve. Morena, how are you, Dylan?
Good morning, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you in here. People might know you through the work you've done with David Farrier on various documentaries, Tickled,
and other projects. The one main documentary about the tickling, it's fine. It's normal stuff.
It's a very, very weird world out there,
yep.
And you're very good at digging into the weirder corners of it, which is basically what your new book is about, Fake Believe, Conspiracy Theories in Aotearoa. Feels very fitting for the times.
Yeah, I think it was. Like, conspiracy theories aren't new, but I think, at least from the conversations I've had, we're confronting them maybe more in our day-to-day real lives than was typical a while ago.
So what was the genesis of this book for you? When did you kind of go, right, I need to write about this, I need to work out some things here?
So I think what happened was, essentially, I've been watching conspiracy theories as kind of, well, let's say a fan, for, I don't know, like close to 20 years. I've sort of been engaging online with people who believe in conspiracy theories. It used to be like, you know, kind of jovial back and forth debating, yep, or maybe arguing is more accurate, whatever. And I think in the last couple of years, people who are aware of my interest in that space have come to me increasingly and gone, hey, what's this thing that my mate from my old job has posted on Facebook, or
right,
or what's this, you know, website that keeps being posted in the comments on one of my, you know, Twitter posts or whatever.
Yes.
So essentially the book is just that conversation made much longer,
mm-hmm,
with, you know, more detail.
I think that's probably something that everybody's observed, at least in the last 2 years, quite acutely, is what used to be maybe something that everybody had their pet interest in, like,
yep,
Princess Diana or Flat Earth or whatever you kind of wanted, mm-hmm, to get stuck into. There was, as you say, an element of maybe winking fun involved, but it got quite dark recently and it got,
yep,
quite mainstream. What are some of the conversations that you started having with people that led to this longer conversation of the book?
I think there's this thing that happens in our brains. We're kind of weirdly predisposed to believing things that look like news or documentaries. So,
mm-hmm,
there's a lot of stuff on the internet, a lot of websites that look like news websites, and a lot of videos that look like documentaries. And people are seeing those and they're going, wait, what, there's this thing, like, what's the deal with this? Because it's really compelling.
Yeah.
And it's like trying to understand where those ideas are coming from, why they seem so prevalent. Because the other weird thing about conspiracy theory at the moment is that all the academic scientific studies about conspiracy theory and prevalence of conspiracy theory belief suggest that it is either not growing or actually shrinking.
Really?
Yeah, which is,
wow,
like, anecdotally, is not my experience, is not the experience of anyone I've spoken to.
Far out.
So the question is, why is that? I don't know. No one seems to know why that is. Like, the you know, the academics are quite focused on, we've done the surveys and this is what they say, and
yeah,
I'm fine, but that's not
what we're hearing. Yeah,
it's not what it feels like. So I don't know why that is. Maybe also that, you know, there's a bunch of people who, you know, kind of had interests in this space, had these kind of let's call them distrusting beliefs about certain things, but they didn't come up much in conversation. Like, if,
yep,
you didn't believe, if you believe 9/11 was an inside job, that doesn't come up much in conversation.
No.
But when the entire world is plunged into a global pandemic,
yeah,
then, you know, we're all kind of on that topic. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah, perhaps. It's a very interesting, I guess, pond to wade into.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it must have been quite an intense process researching this for you.
Yeah, I think it was helpful for me in the sense that I wasn't coming into it from the cold. So I've been watching this stuff for a long time.
Yeah,
I've had
totally,
lots of conversations for a long time, and I've written about various aspects of it. So at least for me, it was a space that I knew. The challenge was trying to figure out whether what I thought I knew was fair,
mm-hmm,
and accurate, and also trying to sort of digest that and bring it out in a reasonable way. So, like, it kind of, the book is essentially, you know, kind of built on my having watched this stuff for a long time, as well as a lot of more recent conversations,
mm-hmm,
with believers, former believers, people who study this stuff, and other sort of interested parties that I thought might have something useful to offer.
And for people who are, I guess, approaching reading this book, what are they going to sort of get from it? Is it a how-to guide of unpacking conspiracy theories with your friends and family, or is it more of a just an exploration of how people get to that space? What is the actual sort of, I guess, thesis of the book?
It's more the second thing. I wish it were the first thing, but there frankly is no how-to guide through fixing or deprogramming or even really finding a common ground. There's no common answers about how to do that. I think what the common advice is just to, you know, to talk to people reasonably and try not to have big shouting arguments, because that's not going to win anyone to anyone's side, and it's just going to, you know, increase rifts, and also to know when to walk away from a conversation like that.
Yeah.
But I think having a better understanding of some of the context around it is probably helpful, and hopefully that's what people take from the book.
Yeah, absolutely. Within the book, are you looking at specific theories? Are you looking at theories that sit under particular umbrellas?
Yeah, like there was a tendency to want to. Mm-hmm. I haven't specifically within the book itself really dived into a lot of that stuff. I mean, it obviously comes up a lot when we talk about different aspects of conspiracy belief and how they affect us.
Yeah.
But instead, I've written an appendix at the end of the book, which kind of, you know, lists out a lot of the popular conspiracy theories and maybe how they interact with one another and what some of the deeper beliefs are and maybe the implications of some of them.
One of the things I think we've started to have a conversation about, or perhaps started to notice in the mainstream over the last few years, as conspiracy theories have become something that's a normal conversation, whether that's a bleak thing or not, you know, to be having, is a lot about how it can perhaps lead to a type of political radicalization as well. Is that something that you touch on in the book?
Yeah, and I think that's what's interesting is conspiracy used to not be political as such. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously people brought their political beliefs into conspiracy beliefs, and there were a lot of conspiracies that touched on political ideas, but they weren't inherently political. Like, you could look at any given conspiracy theory and you couldn't really tell, you know, the political leanings of a given believer or, you know, like a poster. Whereas now a lot of conspiracy theories have at their heart some really strong sort of political ideologies, and even if you're coming into it not politically, like if you consider yourself a lefty hippie type and you've had some doubts about vaccines recently, for example, that's fine, like, understandable. You're going to often find yourself in a space that while it's sort of filling that need for you, it's reassuring you on your doubts or questions and kind of affirming those ideas, it's also going to be introducing a lot of other conspiracy ideas to you, and a lot of those ones have sort of quite deep either political rhetoric behind them, or in a lot of cases also sort of quite extremist alt-right kind of content or anti-Semitism. Like, a lot of that stuff is bubbling underneath, and there are people who are actively feeding those conspiracy beliefs as part of a recruiting tool.
Interesting. And that's the thing that I think we're starting to hear about. That's the bit that also freaks people out as well, because if they see someone that they love kind of getting caught up in these conversations, you can sort of see perhaps the trajectory that could lead to. This is not necessarily new, though.
It's not at all new. Like, none of it's new. And I'm sure, you know, there are like historians who will point to conspiracy theory beliefs. And I'm like, if you want to sort of step back a little bit, like, religion in a lot of ways is kind of, you know, conspiracy theory beliefs. It's not the same, but it's not dissimilar either. And so, you know, we have thousands of years of history of this type of thing. I think what's different, obviously, is first of all, the way we communicate, so the way the ideas spread, but also the insight we have into each other's lives and thoughts that we never had before. Like, I don't know, like 25 years ago, I wasn't writing long letters to everyone in my life telling them everything I believed, but now I'm doing it 280 characters at a time, you know?
Yes, totally. And that is interesting as well, because the internet perhaps has made it more accessible in some ways, but conspiracy theories, as you said, they predate that. What do you reckon the internet has done? Is it a way for connecting people across these ideas? Is it something that people would have found a route to otherwise? What do you reckon?
I think it would have been a lot harder for people to... Like, it's a lot harder for this information to communicate the old-fashioned way. Like, people used to, you know, write to P.O. boxes in like, New Mexico and have a mailing list sent, you know, a mailer sent out to them every month. Like, that was a much harder way to communicate these ideas. But now we're in a place where, you know, one little Facebook post that tweaks your interest is enough to send you off down a rabbit hole. Like you'll end up in a Facebook group where they're not saying the words that you want them to say, because Facebook has bots that find that stuff. But then they'll tell you, they'll point you out to another social network that is, you know, more permissive. And then once you're in that place, you're being given a lot more information about all sorts of ideas.
Mm. It's a web, really.
When you know, people say rabbit hole a lot, and it really can be like that, because you just keep chasing one little sliver of information after the other, and next thing you know, you're deep in reptilian shape-shifting aliens or something.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you feel about conspiracy theories now, after you've done this research? It's not something that's new in your life, exploring these conversations. How are you feeling about it on the other side of this book?
I feel like there's two parts to it. Like one is, like, I don't see anything. Like, it's really understandable that people find these beliefs. And I think if we were sort of honest about it and thought about the things we've all believed and told our friends and been really excited about over the past however long, you know, if you look back at some of them, you're like, oh, I was really quite wrong on that. Like when I was, you know, when I was telling everyone about this book or whatever, like maybe I was not quite, you know. But most of it's inconsequential. I think what's happening now is we are in a space where some of the conspiracy theories are really consequential. In New Zealand, I think we're lucky in that we don't have a really strong connection between politics and conspiracy in the way that, say, they do in the States. So we don't have, like, we just had the local body elections, and despite some concern, it hasn't turned into some sort of, you know, Voices for Freedom landslide in local councils or you know, whatever. So I think it's not, you know, it's not that bad. Like, people get quite worked up about how terrible it's all going to be, and we're not in that place yet, and hopefully we won't get there.
Mm.
But it is really destructive. It can be really destructive to relationships, and, you know, and also on a sort of more individualistic level, you know, there are people who are perhaps making bad decisions on information that's not great.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a really fascinating read. Fake Believe, Conspiracy Theories in Aotearoa. We've got Dylan Reeve in the studio. Thank you for speaking with us, Dylan, and congrats on your book. On sale from today, is that right?
That's what they say.
Excellent. Go find your local bookstore and grab a copy. Cheers for coming in.
Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.